Well, good morning. Let me join with Steve and Danny and welcome each one this morning. We have some of our folks out of town. I thought when school started, everybody would be here the first Sunday, but some are traveling, I think even taking young people away to college, and different things are going on, and so that's just a part of it. But you're here this morning, and we do have a number of guests, and we welcome you and thank you for being our number. Some of you may be traveling from out of town, and thank you for taking time out of your travel schedule to stop and to worship, and thank you for choosing Hickman Mills and coming to be with us today. We are glad you are here. Well, we think about school getting started, and I'm reminded of the mother that went into her son's room and he was asleep, and she said, "Johnny, get up, it's time to go to school." And he goes, "Mom, I don't want to go to school." She said, "You got to get up and go to school." He said, "I don't want to." And she said, "Give me two good reasons why you shouldn't get up and go to school." He said, "First of all, Mom, the kids all hate me. And second, the teachers all hate me." She said, "Well, that's not good enough. You got to get up and go to school." He said, "I don't want to. Give me two good reasons why I should go." And she said, "Son, first of all, you're 52 years old. And second, you're the principal." Now, I don't know if we've had any situations like that this week or not. But, you know, young people, it's not just the young people that don't always want to go to school. Sometimes it's your teachers, administrators, too. But I know who wants you to go to school, and that's the mothers. The mothers are excited. The school has started again, and you're back in school. Well, when you think about school, it certainly brings its challenges every year, and you think about some of the things that are going on with it. So I want this morning to talk about school days. Now, no, I didn't misspell that, and no, I'm not talking about the old Spike Lee movie, School Days, but you remember that? But I want to talk about how the school may daze you a little bit. In fact, actually, this word daze comes from Old Norse word that means to stupefy or to stun with a blow, to overwhelm, to shock, to astound. And sometimes the things of going to school can shock us and astound us and daze us and stun us. But I want us to, this morning, to think about some spiritual principles that will guide you through the maze. Now, I've kind of had a habit through the years wherever I've lived, because everywhere I've lived, we've had young people and there's always been school. And I like to take this Sunday after school gets started and just speak to the young people. So once a year, those of you a little bit older, I hope you will cut me a little slack and allow me to kind of speak to the young people this morning. We have a lot of young people here of all ages. And some of you probably are just getting started in school. Some of you are in situations where you're making a big transition. Maybe you're going to a new school. Or maybe you moved from elementary to middle school, or middle school to high school. There may be some here that are starting their first year of college. I don't know. But whatever the situation, it's always an interesting, exciting, and certainly challenging time. And I think as we talk about it, even the older people, that we maybe can better appreciate as we think about some of these challenges and some spiritual answers to them, what our young people go through. Because I'm gonna guarantee you something. School's different, Danny, than when you and I went. And you're a little younger than me, but it's still different than when either one of us went. It's certainly different when Brad and I went, isn't that right? School's different. And we need to understand some of the things that our young people encounter when they go to school. Now, someone said, "Well, wait a minute, preacher. You mean in the Bible? The Bible talks about things that can help us in school." Absolutely. Peter said, "As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us a great, exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be takers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust." The Bible gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. That means what it is. And whether that's in your personal life or your social life or your home life or your work life or your school life, the Bible deals with principles that pertain to life and godliness, and it can help us as we seek to live a Christian life, as we seek to be partakers of the divine nature, and we seek to escape the corruption that is in the world. And so I want us to think about two major areas this morning. I want us to, first of all, think about some things that may daze us as we go to school, and then think about the principles that will help us. Well, one thing that may daze our young people a little bit is the independence they have from parents. Now, this is a little bit more so when you go away from home and go to school. But, you know, it's true even though when you were still living at home going to school, because you're spending a great deal of your time away from home, away from the eyes and ears of your mom and dad, with other young people, in a situation where you have a little bit more freedom in some ways, and not only just in the school, but the extracurricular activities. That all students almost have some type of extracurricular activity, whether it's band or chorus or some type of community activity, or whether it's some athletic activity. And so all these things happen out of the gaze of mom and dad, and there's a little bit more freedom. And sometimes there's freedom as we get involved in activities after school and on the weekends, and we're going out with our friends, and there's just a lot of things going on. And there is a challenge sometimes as we think about that. And I think one of the challenges it can bring to young people is a false sense of self-sufficiency. You know, that I can make my own decisions and do my own thing, and I don't need mom and dad telling me what to do. And we need to be careful, I think, of that. It says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And so as we gain independence, this don't forget the things that we've been taught as we have been brought up by godly parents. Don't develop a false sense of self-sufficiency just because you have a little bit more freedom. And I think there is also the challenge of listening to the wrong people. Now, that may come on a couple of fronts. On one front, that may come from some peers. I think those of us as parents, one of the things that always concerned Norma Jean and I with our kids growing up was their choice of friends. And at school, you can have some really fine friends, and other kids are going to be there for you, and some good relationships you can build. But on the other hand, there are kids that maybe haven't had the same guidance and direction, the same moral values, and they can lead you down a wrong kind of path if you're a young person allowed to be influenced in that way. The wise man said, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." You know, it's really easy to get into a crowd of young people sometimes. You know, maybe during some free time, or maybe after school, or maybe on a Friday night. And it could be that sometimes you're the only Christian in the bunch. And you're a carload of other young people, and they say, "Hey, my brother's got an ID he made for me, and we can get some beer, and we can go out and have some fun." And you don't want to be the one that says, "No, let's don't do that." And so you end up going along. I want to tell you, that's not a good idea. That's not a good idea. That's going to lead you someplace where you don't want to go. Or maybe to pull a prank. There were some kids when we lived in Tampa that decided at the end of the school year, Florida College, it would be fun to take one of the old couches they had in the suite in the dorm that was no one was ever going to sit on this couch again. It was going in a dumpster. And so they brought it out on the sidewalk, and they set it on fire. And one of the kids, when he went before the district committee, said, "Well, it seemed like a good idea." It wasn't a good idea. When the Temple Terrace Fire Department came down there, and some kids got into some trouble. Guess what? That's against the law, believe it or not, to set a couch on fire on the sidewalk in the city. But sometimes you kind of get caught up. And I was a good friend with the dean of students. He was in my Rotary Club. And he said, "You know, kids are something." I said, "Yeah, I've noticed that." He said, I called one of the kids in that I knew he was involved. And I said, "Did you set this couch on fire?" He said, oh no, Dean Barber, I didn't set the couch on fire." Well, it turned out that someone said that he did, and when he brought him back in, he said, "Well, technically I didn't. I actually set a piece of paper on fire, and I put it underneath the couch." Be careful listening to the wrong people. Something that may seem like a good idea and a good prank and a lot of fun might get you in some big trouble. Okay? Not only maybe with a school, but maybe even with the law. Don't listen to sinners. Well, then there's the challenge of honoring our parents. When I was a kid growing up, just a few short years ago, what's the laughter, okay? You know, there was not a single kid in my class for years, maybe when I graduated, I don't know. But the majority of kids, almost all of them, had a nuclear family, had a mom and a dad. We grew up that way. You had a mom and a dad. That's not so much true anymore. In fact, I was talking to a teacher, a first grade teacher one time. She had 26 kids in her class, big class. 23 of the 26 kids had a different last name than their parents. In other words, they were from a divorced home. And that's the norm today. And now it's even gotten worse than that because of our society today and alternative lifestyles. You may not have a mom and a dad. You may have two moms or two dads. And there is a challenge a lot of times in young people not being brought up with the same values of learning the concept of honor your father and mother. And so as you're learning things, and I'll tell you, you're learning things at a very young age. I noticed when our kids were in school, the kind of things that they were learning in elementary school that I didn't learn until I got later in high school. And not just about life, but academically even. And so kids are smart in a lot of ways. But that does not relieve us of the responsibility of honoring mom and dad. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Honor your father and mother. Why? Well, the Lord wants you to. But you know how passage says that it may be well with you? Let me tell you something, boys and girls. When you don't honor mom and dad, it's not going to be well with you. Okay? In more ways than one. That it may be well with you and that you may live long. You know, typically, and this is kind of a general ruling principle, that when you listen to godly parents, you got a better chance of living longer than living a wild life, a reckless life, a life that takes chances and does foolish and wild things. Honor your father and mother. Well, another challenge in school days that comes along is relationships. And relationships are fun to make new friends and enjoy the friends that we have. And relationships can bring a lot of value and satisfaction to our lives and bring a lot of benefit in times to come. And yet, some of these relationships that we've already suggested can bring challenges and problems. Let me suggest three areas where we may sometimes have problems in relationships as young people and even sometimes as older people. One is evil companions, and we've already suggested that idea of not being misled by evil companions. Evil companions, evil company corrupts good morals. Watch out who you're making friends with. Another area is with angry friends. You know, have you noticed some people are just angry all the time? They got a chip on their shoulder. They want to fight at the drop of a hat. Don't make friends with people like that. The wise man said, don't make friends with a hot-tempered man and do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. And so to run around with someone that's always trying to pick a fight, got a chip on their shoulder, is easily upset, is easily angered, it's just going to get you into trouble. Good advice from the Proverbs. Don't make friends with folks like that. And then a third challenge we have in relationships sometimes is the idea of gossip. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Don't be a gossip. Don't be a busybody. Don't be a talebearer. Don't be a tattler. Don't be speaking against your friends. All of these kinds of things cause problems in relationships, and they not only take us and separate us from our friends, they actually separate us from the Lord as well. Watch out for that. Well, another area is responsibilities. And responsibilities can cause a lot of challenges for us. And as we get older, we have more responsibilities. You're responsible for your choices, for your decisions, for what you do and how you live and the direction you take and what you do with your life. And this is good. In fact, the wise man said, or the prophet said in Lamentations chapter 1 and or chapter 3 and verse 27, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And so it's good for young people to learn responsibility. It's good for young people to take on more responsibility the older they get. But there's some decisions the older you get that you're going to be responsible for in your life. Let me just share three with you. One, what are you going to live your life for? Now you think about that. You say, what do you mean, preacher? What am I going to live my life for? What are you going to live your life for? What is going to be your value system? What is your life going to be about? Is it going to be about material things? Or is your life all about just athletics? What is your life going to be? What are you going to be living it for? Are you going to be living it for the Lord? And He's going to be the central part of it, no matter what you do or what profession you go into or what activities you're engaged in. What are you going to live your life for? And then a second responsibility decision you have is, what are you going to live, who are you going to live your life with? Now, for some of the younger students, you're not thinking too much about that yet. But you know, you get a little bit older and you start going out on dates. And I know you say, well, now, Ken, we're just going out on a date. We're not going to get married. Here's something that I noticed. Almost everybody that I know that's married went out with that person before they got married. You ever notice that? Almost everybody I know did that. You know, my parents used to kind of caution me on a thing about, don't date someone you wouldn't want to marry. And he said, well, that's silly. Well, here's what kind of what they meant by that. Not to go out and develop a dating relationship with the kind of person that does not have the integrity and the morals and the ethics and the honor that you want to spend a lot of time with. Now you think about that. Young ladies, don't be going out with a guy that's not going to respect you as a young lady, that's not going to respect your virtue, that's not going to respect your morals, that's not going to respect your Christianity. Why do you want to date someone like that? You know, I have a hard time figuring out sometimes. And we've watched it a lot through the years and probably noticed a little bit more with our college students who are really getting serious today. And I'd say to my wife, what did she see in this guy? He's a jerk. He's a jerk. What does she see in him? I guess there's a certain mentality that likes to date a bad boy sometimes. But think about who you're going to live your life with. And on the other hand, I'd say to the guys, now, you know, when I was a kid growing up, people had reputations. And you know when you ask someone out what their reputation is. Don't be asking out these girls who got a bad reputation. That's not going to do you any good. You're asking only for trouble when you do that. You're asking for trouble. Now, moms and dads, grandparents, am I right about that? You know I am. You've seen it. Think about that. That's a very important decision. Who are you going to live your life with? And then the third question is, what are you going to live your life doing? Doing? Yeah, doing. Preparing school, you know, is to prepare yourself to do something. To make a living, to work, to prepare for an occupation or a profession. What are you going to live your life doing? And I know when you're real young in school, you're not thinking about that probably quite so much as you get a little bit older. But you know, even today in middle school, they got young people thinking about their professions and thinking about going to college. I can remember when our son started his freshman year, and I said to him, okay, Kenny, now it gets serious. Because the grades you make are going to count toward where you go to college. And where you're going to college, you're going to have something to do maybe with what you're going to be able to do in life. It's going to count. You know, a lot of times people get down to their senior year EU teachers ever found this, and someone is shocked they can't get into college where they want because they got terrible grades. Well, your second semester, senior year is a little late to start worrying about it now. You better think about it your freshman year, first semester. Actually, before that, but certainly then it really counts. What are you going to do? Someone said, well, preacher, you're telling these young people to worry about making a lot of money? No, not necessarily. I'm just think about what you're going to do with your life. What are you going to live your life doing? Something honorable? Something that will serve your fellow man? Something can serve the Lord? Something in which you can be a faithful Christian? Something in which you can make it? Something where you can work and provide for yourself and for a family? We kind of live in a culture today that has a mentality of the world owes them something. We need to think about preparing our lives to be able to do something, to give something back to the culture in which we live. Well, then the last thing that can daze us is temptations. And from time to time, I have talked a little bit about that. And so let me just kind of bullet this a little bit with you. I think there's two major areas. There's a lot of temptations that our young people face. But let me just kind of talk about two broad categories. One is the temptation of being squeezed into the world's mold. Paul in the book of Romans said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I like the way the J.B. Phillips translation puts it. He said, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. And the world will try to do that, to squeeze you into the mold of its attitudes, its actions, its language, its dress. And we fight that. And I tell you, you not only deal with it as a young person, you're going to deal with it all through life. And now is the time as a young person to be willing to take a stand. And not talk like the world talks, not dress like the world dresses, not act and think like the world thinks. Don't let the world squeeze you in its own mold. That was true in the first century when Paul wrote it. It was true when I was a kid. It's true today. That's a challenge that we face. Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, I had a sermon a few weeks ago about when you deal with things, there's a time to run. Now, there's a time to fight, but sometimes there's just a time to flee. Get out of there. And that's what Paul's saying here. Flee, run from youthful lust. Don't love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You know where you need to be. You need to be on God's side. Love not the world, but love the things of God. Well, there's a second major temptation that I think young people especially face today, and that's compromising your honor and your honesty. That's a big challenge. I came across an article some time ago. It was on a website, on ABC News, actually. And the heading of this was a cheating crisis in American schools. And a lady by the name of Angelus, who's a professor at Hunter College in New York, was talking about a survey that has been done among colleges and universities, but even some of these quotes are out of high school as well. In fact, one of surveys was a survey of 12,000 high school students. 74% of these 12,000 high school students admitted to cheating on an exam at least once in the past year. And a six-month investigation, Primetime, traveled to colleges, high schools across the country to see how students are cheating and why. And their report is, the bottom line is, not just that many students have more temptation, but they have a new mindset. Here's one. Joe is a top student in the Northeast who admits to cheating regularly. And he spoke of it, not wanting his identity obscured. In Joe's view, he said, I'm just doing what the world does. He told Gibson, the real world is terrible. people will take other people's materials and pass it on as theirs. I'm numb to it already. He said, I just cheat to get by. As an actual high school student, explaining why he cheats. Mary, a student at a large university in the South, said, a lot of young people think that if you're not really there to learn anything anyway. You're just there to learn the system. Michael Josephson, founder of the Josephson Institute for Ethics, a LA-based organization, conducted a 2002 survey that says students take their lead from adults. He said they're basically decent kids whose values are being totally corrupted by a world which is sanctioning stuff that they even know is wrong, but they can't understand why everybody allows it. One student said because they grade on the curve, they have to cheat. One business student at a top state university said, everything is about the grade that you get in class. Nobody looks at how you got it. He said he graduates in a few weeks and will go on to a job with a top investment firm. Man, I don't want him handling my investments, do you? For Mary's classmate, Pam, it was a different sort of prior story. She said, you don't want to be a dork and study 8 hours a day. You want to go out and have fun. Well, I could page after page of talking about that. You kids are not naive about this. You know what goes on. And you're going to be tempted to cheat. To plagiarize. In fact, this article also talked about websites you could go to and download term papers. You don't have to write your term paper. You can just download entire term papers. Entire websites are devoted to that. And so there's that temptation. What do? Put away lying. Let each one speak with the truth of his neighbor, for remembers one of another. Cheating is really lying. It's saying, I did this, but I really didn't. I got this honorably, but I really didn't. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands, may have what is good to give to him that has something has need. Cheating is stealing. It's taking from somebody else what is not yours. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, Paul said in the book of Romans. Well, these are some of the challenges. What are some of the principles that guide you through the maze? Well, one is to seek a relationship with God. Josiah, in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 3, said that in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. The scripture, when you read that, says that Josiah was 16 years old. Same age as many of you, maybe a little younger than some of you. 16 years old, Josiah got serious about his relationship with God, and he sought the God of his fathers. I'm going to begin a series in a couple weeks here on experiencing intimacy with God, and I hope you all will be here. And it's not just for the older people, but for the young people to think about developing closeness with God, to draw near to God. And so in your youth, do that. In our reading this morning, the wise man said, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Now is the time to remember God. Don't forget who God is. Remember who made you. Remember who sustained you. Remember who gives you all things. Remember who gave His Son to die for you. Remember who it is that wants you to be saved. Remember who cares about your welfare. Remember who it is that sees and hears everything that you say and do. And remember who gave you your soul and mind and body. Draw near to God. Seek a relationship with God. And then secondly, submit to the rules of the Word. Josh McDowell, in his book on parenting, says the rules without relationship leads to rebellion. You know, that's true in our homes and that's true in our relationship with God. And God sought a relationship with us and wants to be close to us. But He also has provided a book that we call the Bible in order to guide us. I know when we're younger, a lot of times it's easy to bristle up against rules and to look at thou shalls and thou shalt not as someone trying to restrict us. And yet we understand that there are a lot of things in life that have rules. You belong to a club, it has certain rules to be in that club. Those of you that are playing athletics, you know that that's true. Whether you're running cross country or playing baseball or basketball or football, there's rules. And when you break a rule, then there's a penalty. There's a foul, or you lose yardage, or, you know, if you break a rule real bad, you might get kicked out of the game. We understand that it is true. And sometimes we don't like it when we're the one that's caught penalized. But we understand the game has to have rules. Well, in the Christian life, there's rules. And God has given us rules to submit to His Word. The psalmist raises the question, how can a young man cleanse his way? And that's a good question, isn't it? In this wicked world today, with all the temptations, with all the problems, with all the challenges, how can a young man or a young lady live a clean and virtuous life? You know what the answer is? The psalmist, in the next part of the verse, gives us the answer, by taking heed according to your word. That's how. Nothing revolutionary, nothing really profound. It's getting into the word. It's spending a little time. I know you got homework. I know you got extracurricular activities. I know you got friends. But what if you just took 10 minutes every day to get into the Word a little bit? Or 15 or 20 or whatever it is. And to read a little bit in the Word. The psalmist said, your Word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. And so as we store it up and we think about it, then that fortifies us and strengthens us when these challenges and temptations that we talked about come along. And it's something you can pull out and remember and help you cleanse your way. Remember the rules of the Word. The psalmist said, direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Allow your steps, young people, be directed by the word of God. And then a third principle I would suggest to you is to secure a reliable mentor. Now, I want to be careful here. I know that many of you have moms and dads. In fact, probably most of you live with your mom and dad. And you say, well, parents may say, Ken, I want to be their mentor. And certainly you do and you should. But you know, I know from experience that there are times when there are young people that need to talk to another adult. They need someone they can trust and someone that is honest and dependable and faithful. And they need some wise counsel. And maybe sometimes they don't quite feel like going to mom and dad. And I just suggest to young people, develop someone, an adult that you can talk to, a mentor. You know, it may be a trusted teacher at school that's a godly, righteous person. It may be a coach. It may be an elder here in the church. It may be a preacher. It may be a Bible class teacher. It may be someone that has helped you in vacation Bible school. I don't know. But someone that you trust, that you can look up to, that you're comfortable with, and that you can talk to. The wise man said, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And from time to time, all of us, young and old, need counsel. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. There are times to get counsel and to seek the wisdom of someone that is older and wiser. Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Well, the fourth principle I want to talk about is to serve righteously both man and God. Jesus was 12 years old. In Luke chapter 2, when it says he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And he went back to Nazareth and he was subject to Joseph and Mary. He increased, according to this verse, mentally and physically and socially and spiritually. And what I'm saying is to use your talents to glorify God. Paul said in the book of Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Whatever you do, yeah, that includes everything. You see, that goes beyond just coming to worship service or coming to Bible class. That includes our work life, moms and dads, and our social life, and includes our school life. And so if you're in an algebra class, or you're in band, or you're in chorus, or you're on the football team or basketball team, whatever it is you're doing, then you conduct yourself as a Christian. You treat other people right. You're respectful. You let your light shine. And you serve man and God and give glory to Him in all that you do. School days, yeah, they're challenging, aren't they? But we can get through it. And we can come out on the other side and we can be stronger and bigger and better Christians because of it. So young people, hope you have a great school year. Hope you do well. Hope your challenges are few. I know you'll have them. That's just life. But I hope we've shared some things this morning you can latch onto a little bit, and that'll help you through the year. God bless you. And God bless the moms and dads and the grandparents that are seeking to guide and help you. Well, as we close our service this morning, Danny's picked the song. I think it's When We All Get to Heaven. Is that right? Boy, isn't that where we all want to go? I know when you're 16, you're thinking you got a few more years maybe before you go to heaven. You can live this life a little longer. But you know what? You never know. The young die too, don't they? As well as the aged. And what our hope and prayer is that in an assembly like this, that those of us who are seeking to serve the Lord, they're part of this church family, that one day we can be at heaven together. We used to have an old brother down in Tampa, and I loved to hear him pray. And he said, "Lord, may we all be saved without the loss of one." I like that. Without the loss of one. What a great prayer. What a great thought to contemplate. That all of us here in this room, when our time comes, can all get to heaven. But you know, there's an old spiritual says, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. And that's just the reality of it, isn't it? So if you're not right with God this morning, if you're not serving God, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and walking in the way of holiness and following Him, you don't have a lot of right to say when we all get to heaven, because you're not on the path yet. And you need to get on it. And so this morning as we close and we sing this song, we sing it as a way not only to celebrate that we all can go there, but to encourage and invite that if you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, to become a Christian this morning, so you can join your voice and heart in integrity and save when we all get to heaven. We can help you. Would you come as we stand and while we sing?